Welcome to Fit to Be Tired with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone, and we want to thank you for joining us this Sunday afternoon and spending part of your Sunday afternoon with us and listen as we talk through some wellness topics as we usually do. Sheena, you have a good week?
I have had a good week. It's definitely, you know, I can't believe that we're already in October now. That kind of freaks me out. The semester has been going by very rapidly.
Yeah, I heard somebody the other day refer to football season as like the longest holiday of the year. And it in a way it is, but in a way it's flying by.
I agree. And it's, I don't know, if you would have told me as a student that there would be a point where football would be something that I don't think about as often as I did back then, I probably wouldn't believe you, but it's so true. I mean, I love Alabama football. You know, there's a lot of excitement with college football in general, but I am not necessarily planning my weekends around college football like I used to. I feel bad even saying that on the air. I feel like a bad Alabama fan. I love the Tide. And I don't know. It's just strange.
But as a longtime university employee, one thing, me and a friend of mine talk about this all the time. It's like, if you work at a university on campus for a long time, you start to live from semester to semester.
Agreed.
And when you do that, it's like life flies by.
It does. Yeah. Because, you know, I'll think, oh, if we can just get through the fall semester, if we can just get through the spring. But then the thing that I hate about that is I don't want my personal life at home to fly by that quickly,
right.
Like those memories and those moments with family and everything else. But the cool thing about it being October is that this month will mark me being at the university professionally for 8 years.
8 years?
Yes. I started this job 3 days before my 25th birthday, and I am going to be 33 in November. So, yeah.
That's
wow,
crazy.
I know. It's so weird because I'll have students that I work with in the office and I'll make mention of a former patient that had something that they had same condition, and I'll reference a patient from 2009 and I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, and their eyes get big and they're trying to assess like, how old is this lady?
Right,
you know, like she's referencing from the 2009s. Like, what's happening?
Yeah, 2009 doesn't seem like that long ago. Mm-mm. And it is now.
Yeah.
It really
How long have you been here, John?
15 years.
Okay.
15 years this past February.
You don't look old enough to have been
here. I was about to say the
years.
Same thing
yeah.
about you.
Well,
you look like
you.
You're about 22 years old. But
I appreciate it.
Yeah. But, I guess with your nutrition background, you probably have some secret that you're keeping from all of us to look so young.
You know, I would say that. I would say there's probably some good genetics that are in there. You know, my mom, I would be lying if I said that she didn't enjoy getting mistaken for being my sister instead.
Does that happen, really?
It actually does a lot. So that's good for me because it gives me something to look forward to as far as the aging. And I'm sure my husband probably did some motherly assessment whenever we were first dating. So, I mean, I'm very grateful for the good genetics. So it's not all of my diet because I had an interesting dinner last night that probably set me back about 15 years. So,
what was interesting, the number of calories or just what it was?
Probably what it was and probably the number of calories. And I'm not usually a calorie person, but it is a place that I just am really shocked that certain places can allow you to have certain types of items as side items that I would consider to be entree items. So I'm just going to leave it at that. That's all I'm going to say about that. So.
Hey, as long as you're airing your dirty laundry. I had a little bronchitis last week. I ran over to the faculty staff clinic and I weighed, you know, took my blood pressure and all that. And then they took me into a room. So I'm going to completely air my dirty laundry. It's funny. The nurse comes in there, and I notice they're sitting down a piece of paper that has BMI information on it. I'm texting my wife, and I'm like, they're about to tell me that I'm fat. And I was like, I work over at the rec center. I work over at the rec center, so it's okay.
You're like
it's
making
okay.
these yeah. excuses now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm wondering, that could be some standard information that they're giving now. Who knows? But, yeah. But we've got a great show coming up this afternoon. Just some really exciting stuff. You know, we've had some pretty awesome all-star guests this semester, and today is no exception at all. But we've got to take our first break, you guys. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
We're the Mountain Assembly, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
back to Fish Speak Kyle with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. We're continuing our afternoon. About to move into a topic that's a heavy topic for us, I would say, but one that's super important. And as we continue the show, I think it's important that we reemphasize the fact, Sheena and I, you and I talk about this a lot, how this isn't just meant to be a physical activity, a nutrition show. We try to cover the entire wellness spectrum. And, you know, occasionally, well, on a regular basis, we have guests that are, you know, outside of that, you know, what you would consider mainstream if you were just going to say health and fitness.
I agree.
Yeah.
Most definitely. And that's the beauty of what we do with the show and when it comes to wellness in general, just because there are so many different types of resources that we have, not only on campus, but in the Tuscaloosa community. So the fact that we're able to showcase some of these different services, I think is just really great overall. And for our show this afternoon, we'll be specifically talking about Domestic Violence Awareness Month, which is during the month of October. And so we've got a great guest that we have this afternoon.
Yeah. And doing the research for this, before we get into it with her, just reading through some of this stuff really opened my eyes. I mean, some of the statistics that you see blow you away. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've seen these before. I haven't. And when I got to looking at them, I was like, wow, you know, a lot of people are involved in this. And, I'm going to throw a number out there, and we can discuss it in a minute, but it's not something that I found on this official website. I heard it on TV. I don't know if it's how accurate it
sure.
is or not. No, I actually read it in a book.
Okay.
And it was that one in four females in college are sexually assaulted in some way. And I got thinking about that. I having a daughter out here, you know, in every class that she's in that, you know, has 30 or 40 people, that's, you know, four or five females we're
right.
talking about there.
Oh, most definitely.
It's scary.
It really is. And, you know, when it comes to the numbers that are out there, that's not something that in the past I had been paying that much attention to. I think, you know, with recent events that, that we see in the news, whether it's on our campus or other campuses or just in society in general, you know, this is something that we should bring to the forefront just so that people are aware. We have people that maybe in activities on campus and we want them to stay safe. So I think it's great that we're just able to have the guests that we have
yeah.
this afternoon.
And before we get into this too, one other thing, when you look at the wellness spectrum, I mean, this includes, when you say this might be difficult to attach to the wellness spectrum, no, it's not. You look at all of those things. This kind of affects every part of the wellness spectrum.
Most definitely.
So anyway, let's get on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Do we want to bring our guest on?
Yeah. Zoe, our guest is Zoe Winston, who is a peer education program coordinator at the Women's Gender and Resource Center. Did I get that all correct? That's a mouthful of...
It is such a mouthful of a title. So thank you so much. Again, my name is Zoe Winston. I'm the Peer Education Programs Coordinator for our Women and Gender Resource Center at the University of Alabama. So
awesome.
We have a long title.
Yeah. Well, Zoe, tell us a little bit about how you function at the WGRC. You know, how long you've been in that role and even what some of your professional experiences had been prior to that.
Certainly. So I just celebrated my third anniversary at
Woo-hoo!
The university.
Nice.
And even though it's only been 3 years, I feel like it has flown by. The Women and Gender Resource Center, just a little bit about what we do. We offer free and confidential counseling and advocacy for survivors of dating and domestic violence, sexual assault, harassment, stalking. We also provide these services for adult survivors of child abuse. And so that's something that doesn't get talked about often when we're talking about domestic violence, but I think it's really important. And anyone who's affiliated with the university can access our resources. So this is not something that's just for students, but for faculty and staff as well. A little bit about my background and how I got involved with the Women and Gender Resource Center. I actually got both of my degrees from the University of Alabama.
Nice.
So roll tide.
Yeah.
And I actually went to the WGRC as an undergrad because I was a victim of stalking and needed help after that whole process, especially navigating some of the legal recourse. And then after that experience as a sophomore, got involved with them as a volunteer, became an intern, and graduated from college, spent some time in marketing, and then had the opportunity to come back to the university about a year after I finished my undergraduate degree and work with them full time. So the nature of my role is I help coordinate our education, outreach, and training regarding interpersonal violence for the center. So I get to talk to wonderful people like you about what we do. But then I have the privilege of working really closely with a lot of students, whether it's going to their classes and talking about our resources or talking about different intersections of interpersonal violence. So I get to give a lot of really interesting talks. And then I get to work with our student leaders who really want to make a change on campus and want to make an impact in ending interpersonal violence. And so it's a lot of stuff on the road, which I enjoy. It keeps me very busy.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a lot of different areas to be responsible for. It's huge.
Yeah, it really and is. You know, Zoe, as you were just talking about your history with everything, it's been several years, but I think it might have been one of the first years that the center was doing their annual chocolate festival, and I was in a planning meeting for that. It was either that or maybe something with Body Appreciation Week, and I think that you might have been representing the WGRC as either a graduate assistant or a student worker, and I think I remember seeing you for the first time back then. Of course, you had your maiden name back then, but I just think it's so neat when you've had the experiences that you were able to have really benefiting from the center as a student and then getting to work there professionally.
Yeah, it's been incredible, especially seeing it from both sides and then you know, really having that impact. It's such a great resource that we have on campus. You know, we hope that nothing bad would ever happen to any of our students, but when something does happen, knowing that there are resources there to make sure that they continue to have this great college experience is phenomenal. And because of that, I was able to have a great college experience. I was able to stay in school and I didn't have to go back home or drop out for a semester. And so right. That was phenomenal. And I think that fuels a lot of the work that I do. And one of the reasons I got so interested in the work that we do at the WGRC. And you'll find, in my experience, that a lot of the people who do this work have either been personally affected by it or know someone who has. And I think that speaks so much, John, to what you were saying about how the numbers are staggering. And so, you know, depending on where you look, you'll find different statistics, but it really hovers around the 1 in 4 women and about 1 in 7 men, mm-hmm. according to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. And so those are really big numbers. And I think it's a natural inclination for people to think like, this won't happen to me, or doesn't happen to people who look like me. This happens over there.
Right.
But really, the reality is we probably all know someone who's been impacted by interpersonal violence, even if we're aware of that or not. And so this really is a community wellness issue.
Right. No, gosh. And Zoe, you are just so articulate with how you really tied into the mission of our radio show when it comes to the ripple effect that happens and how it affects our overall wellness. And we're just excited to continue our conversations with you this afternoon. But I know we've got to take a quick break. Guys, you are listening to Fit to be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. And we will catch you right after this break.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum. My favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
Welcome Welcome back. You have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. And this afternoon, we are continuing our conversation with Zoe Winston from the Women and Gender Resource Center. We've had some great conversations so far. And Zoe, I know I was asking you a little bit during our break just about the history of the name of the WGRC. I remember when I was a student as an undergrad and even in grad school, remembering your organization known as the Women's Resource Center. And then I noticed over the past couple of years, there was that that transition to the Women and Gender Resource Center. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that name transition happened?
Sheena, thank you so much for asking that question. We are so excited about the fact that we are celebrating our 25th anniversary this year. So in that 25 years,
so
the
awesome.
Women and Gender Resource Center has undergone several transformations. So we were originally located in Russell Hall. We were called the Women's Center. We were a part-time one-woman show and have been able to see sustained growth over the past 25 years. And so once after we got a particular grant and we were able to grow our staff, that's when we became the Women's Resource Center, when mm-hmm. we were able to start really providing that counseling and advocacy that you see today. A couple of years ago, we started to notice a shift in not necessarily needs, but in perception. And mm-hmm. so our services have always been available for people regardless of gender or sexual identity. Anyone can come see us at the Women and Gender Resource Center because anyone can experience dating violence, domestic violence, sexual assault. And so even though we had that component and we saw anyone and everyone who needed services, we were realizing we had some feedback that people didn't necessarily understand that sure. right away. And so we added the gender component, changed our name to the Women and Gender Resource Center, because we first didn't want to lose the fact that this is largely issues that primarily affect women, but anyone can experience it as well. And then in addition to our counseling and the advocacy services, we do a lot of programming, events, and development with all types of students on campus. And so we're a pretty comprehensive center, mm-hmm. and we just wanted to be more reflective of the work that we were already doing.
That's awesome. That's so good. No, just to hear that history and know it went from a one-person show to the facility that you guys are in now, the number of staff that you guys have, so impressive.
I know. I think we're up to 11 full-time staff members. We have 3 full-time staff therapist and a full-time advocate, and so they are doing amazing, phenomenal things.
You know, it's weird you mentioned that about the change in the name. I'll throw out a statistic for you here, and I got this from the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. One of the things that I mentioned, several things that shocked me, but when you look at psychological abuse, one of the things that they have listed here is that 4 in 10 women have experienced at least one form of coercive control by an intimate partner. Mm-hmm. But it's this exact same number for men, too, 4 in 10 men. So you don't think of, you know, men being psychologically abused by women when you just initially think of it like that.
Right.
But, according to, you know, the guidelines for what institutes psychological abuse, there are a lot of things that fall into it that you wouldn't think.
Definitely. So oftentimes when we think about domestic violence, we think about it only being physical, mm-hmm. And it really only having that physical abuse. But there can be several different types of abuse, including psychological. That can be verbal or emotional abuse. And really, you know, it's not about the physical violence, but it's about the abuser wanting to have power and control over the victim, and so they'll use their words and they'll manipulate people to maintain that power and control. And so if a relationship has reached the point where there is physical violence at any regular interval, it's reached a level of critical danger for the victim. As friends and family members, if we see some red flags in our loved one's life that something may be wrong, we don't want to wait for that physical violence to be present. We want to ask ourselves, you know, is their significant other being controlling or having all the power? Because that's really, you know, where we see that abuse lying.
Right. Have you or any of your staff, you know, having done a presentation for a class, have a student come afterwards and say, oh my goodness, you know, I didn't realize that, you know, these behaviors were happening to me, or I could be a potential victim? Because I know even just as a staff member, having listened to some of the harbor training that you guys have done and other things, like I've reflected in hindsight in my own past relationships and thought like, wow, there were some very concerning dynamics or behaviors that have happened. So has that been something that you and your staff notice as far as students coming afterwards and saying, oh my goodness?
Certainly. And so what I'll get more often than not, oftentimes in presentations, we go over something that's called the power and control wheel. It was a tool developed by researchers out of Duluth, Minnesota, to come up with a pattern that they found in domestic violence to give people some signs of dating and domestic violence. And so I'll talk often in harbor training with faculty and staff or in presentations with students about that power and control wheel. What I see more often than students saying, wow, this was something that happened to me, is students coming up and saying, this is happening to my friend. And, you know, I've noticed this with a friend. What can I do? And so we often will include, you know, here's some tips on how you can be supportive for your friend. And then we also will talk about something that we call the equality wheel, which is talking about components of a relationship that are healthy and what needs to be in place for a relationship to be healthy. So things like mutual respect and open communication, right, and things like that.
All the things that you want in a healthy relationship.
Yeah, and not just a romantic relationship, but a friendship, sure, or roommate relationship, anything like that.
Well, Zoe, could you talk? I mean, I know you haven't worked specifically in the private sector, but like from your knowledge of this, are there a lot of differences between like what you would probably see in the general public compared to a college campus? And I'm not saying specifically the University of Alabama, but just the dynamics of a college campus. Does it kind of lend itself more to certain types of domestic violence?
You know, I wouldn't say that there's necessarily a difference. I think one unique thing about college students is the age demographic. So a majority of our students are between 18 and 24. And so those relationships are going to look a little different than your general population who might be a little bit older. And so sometimes it can, you know, I think it goes back to that assumption of, oh, this thing won't happen to me. Because when we think of domestic violence, we think about people being married and living in the suburbs. Right. We don't think about it happening maybe in the types of relationships that our students are having. And so I wouldn't say that it's necessarily the setting. And there's research that lends itself to different things. But I think age definitely plays a factor. But, you know, there's no difference as far as the severity or the types go.
Right. Okay.
Well, I know too, you know, gosh, I mean, just the wealth of knowledge that you've been able to bring to us this afternoon has been fantastic. And, you know, of course, we've had this focused conversation on domestic violence awareness in general. But I know with the WGRC, there are so many other types of programs that you provide for our students and just our campus community in general. If you are willing to stick with us for another break, I'd love to pick your brain on more of that, just so you guys can share some of the things that you do. Would that be okay?
Yes, certainly. I would love to share how people can get involved.
Okay, awesome. Well, you guys, you have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. Please stick with us after the break, and we'll catch you in just a bit.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Back to Fit to Be Tied, and you are here with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone, and we're continuing our conversation this afternoon with Zoe Winston from the Women's Gender Resource Center, and kind of emphasizing Domestic Violence Abuse Month, and that's what we've been talking about for the last probably 20-25 minutes or so. But Zoe, there's a lot of other things that you guys do, too. I was looking at your website and, prior to this, and you get into some of the programs that you guys have. You know, there's like a plethora of things that you guys offer. Do you want to just kind of elaborate on some of the bigger things that you guys have?
Definitely. And so I know I've talked some today about our counseling and advocacy, and that's something that I love to share with people mm-hmm. because it's so near and dear to my heart. But our overall mission really focuses on promoting gender equity, not only on our campus at the University of Alabama, but in the community and world beyond. And that has a special focus on social justice. And so we do a lot of work around social justice with that special focus on gender equity. Like we've mentioned several times, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And we're going to have lots of events throughout October that are focused and related to domestic violence awareness, education, things like that. But we do a lot throughout the year. And so the Women and Gender Really Resource Center is really great about honoring and celebrating different history and heritage months. And so next month, October, is Native American Heritage Month. And we're going to have different events throughout that month that not only focus on Native American Heritage Month, but on that intersection of gender identity as well. We do things throughout Women's History Month, African American History Month, and we have lots of those one-time events, and those are really great ways for people to get involved. We also have opportunities for people to get involved more long-term, and so one of those things is the Young Men's and Young Women's Leadership Program. Mm-hmm. It's a mentoring program where college students get paired with a local fifth grader, and they actually get to work through a curriculum in the spring. And so it's a little bit more than just helping them with their homework. But we talk about things like leadership and identity development, self-esteem. We talk about things like using our strength for helping people and work to combat some negative messages that fifth graders are starting to receive. We also have several student organizations that work closely with us, like the Student Leadership Council. It's a council of students from all over campus with so many different interests and talents, and they come together and really support the Women and Gender Resource Center mission. Today and tomorrow, actually, they were tabling in the FERG talking about how the tide loves Title IX and serving to educate students about some of the updates that were recently made to the interpretation of Title IX and just making sure that students are empowered with that knowledge. And so there's lots of opportunities to get involved and really plug in with whatever someone's interest area might be.
That's really great. And, you know, one of the other cool things that I've, you know, noticed about your facility is that you guys have a library within your facility. Can you tell me a little bit about some of those resources that are in there and how students or faculty staff can access those things?
Yes. The Francis Summersell Library is UA's best kept secret.
It's just great. I've actually gotten some stuff out there, and everybody is so nice in there.
Yeah. Thank
everybody
you. So, nice so we are part of UA's library system, and anyone who can check out a library book anywhere on our University of Alabama's campus can come and check out a book from our library. And so we have books on things related to gender, race, class. We also have a book club that meets once a month mm-hmm. called the Every Woman Book Club. They're books by, for, and about women. And a lot of those books are in our library as well. And so it's really great, John. I just like pictured you coming into the WGRC to get a book. But we'll have like the occasional English grad student who wanders in very lost, like, they said Francis Summersell Library, and I put it in Google Maps, and I'm here, and what do I do?
Right. It's like, what's happening here?
Yes.
But there are some great resources, like health education-type resources. You have to take that angle as right. you're going in there. That's how I ended up in there. I wasn't looking for the Women's Book Club, okay? I wasn't there for that reason. But, a free plug for you guys. It is a great resource.
Especially if you teach a class. We have so many documentaries that cover a lot of health-related issues, especially when it comes to things like gender or interpersonal violence. And so if you like ever need to show a movie, we got you covered.
Right.
Yeah, no, I think that has been the biggest thing is knowing all the different types of mediums that you have available. It's not just books, but, you know, a lot of the video resources that we've used for different awareness events, of course, with Body Appreciation Week and having some different documentaries that have been there, too. So, yeah, just definitely wanted to give a shout out for that resource, just because, like you just said, UA's best, you know, hidden secret. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, when you talk about that and so many things on social and interpersonal interactions, and that's where I've used it, that from that perspective. And when you talk about wellness, you know, those spectrums of wellness, social interpersonal skills are mm-hmm. a huge part of that. And so we in on the show a lot, and so many people associate wellness with, you know, physical activity, nutrition, you know, and they get some of those other things, but the things to me that seem to get left off are the social and interpersonal and the environmental. And that's exactly what you guys do. You talk about social interactions, environmental interactions, but you know, those controlling your environment, you know, as a female and being, making yourself safe and being aware of what, you know, what is domestic abuse and that sort of thing. Or what are some signs of it so that you don't get into a situation where it's too bad?
Yeah. And I think what's so great about what we do at the Women and Gender Resource Center is we definitely want to equip all students to be aware of these issues. But we also do a lot of work and work so much with different partners on campus to really get to the root of these issues. So looking at the wellness component, but then also looking at the more systemic social issues that really kind of allow for these things to happen.
Sure.
And, you know, John, I think I thought about this when earlier in the show you said this is such an uncomfortable topic. It is. It's hard to really talk about the fact that sometimes people hurt other people, and it can be really an uncomfortable topic. And I think the fact that this is a large systemic problem is one of the reasons that's so uncomfortable. And so we also really help students learn how they can engage with where they're at right now to stop the issue. And so something that we really focus on is pro-social bystander intervention. And so, of course, recognizing signs of domestic violence and maybe of sexual assault and how to safely intervene in those situations. But then we also talk about language use and our thoughts and actions and how that might contribute to a society that allows for this to happen. And so we talk a lot with students about, you know, the words you say matter, and that's really important. So if your friend makes a sexist joke against women, like, you know, you might be the unfunny friend for a moment, but call them out on
right.
it. And so I think that's really important too, to equipping students to standing up and being those really good leaders.
Yeah. And, you know, Zoe, knowing that, you know, I know we're going to have to wrap up our time with you this afternoon, but one of the things I was curious about is knowing that we probably have some listeners that may not necessarily be affiliated with our campus and, you know, just part of our great listening community. Are there certain online resources or websites that you would recommend for people to get more educated in this, or even to be more supportive to someone who they might be concerned about or be in a concerning relationship?
Yes, definitely. The National Coalition Against Domestic Violence mm-hmm. has really great resources. And then for anyone in the Tuscaloosa area, our community partner, Turning Point, as well, is a really great resource for anyone who might be experiencing these issues but aren't affiliated with the university. I'm also going to make a quick plug. If you really want to help, check out our Hope Scholarship online. It's a scholarship available for survivors of dating and domestic violence who have a financial need and are our clients.
Yeah, awesome. No, thank you for giving that plug, and thank you for sharing those resources. And of course, first and foremost, and to end it all, thank you for your time with us this afternoon. We have enjoyed you so much. And you guys, you have one last little segment left with John and I, but we've got to take a quick break. You have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Michael Kasky. I'm a civil engineering major, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John. We want to thank you for spending your afternoon with us. We're going to wrap up this last segment here, and we decided to bring Zoe back just for a couple of minutes here because she brought us a lot of good information. She was nice enough to hang around with us. But Zoe, one thing that I didn't get to ask you earlier that I definitely wanted to, because this is such a worthwhile endeavor for anybody, whether they, you know, been involved with domestic violence or not. I would highly, highly encourage people to get involved with you guys. If you see a table that says domestic violence, don't walk way around it, you know, because you're gonna get tapped on the shoulder. You know, go up, talk to them and get some more information. But if somebody wanted to get involved with volunteering with you guys, what would they need to do?
I think the best and easiest way for people to learn about opportunities to get involved with the WGRC is checking out our website. It's wgrc.ua.edu, and that has great a wealth of information about not only our programs, but how to get in touch. We send out a biweekly newsletter with all of the events that we have going on, and so that's a great way to just kind of figure out a great time to plug it in. There's also on our website a way to get plugged in to our volunteering email list. And so we have opportunities for once in a while volunteering and then ongoing regular volunteering as well. So it will fit any schedule that anyone has. And then also I think it's worth noting, if you're listening and you want to maybe get in touch to talk to a counselor or advocate, it's really easy. You can just call our office. It's 348-5040 and set up an appointment. You know, we're really friendly. It's always free, always confidential. There's never any cost to our services, and you can come at any point. A lot of times, especially with domestic violence, people think that they have to be out of an abusive relationship to get help, but that's certainly not the case. Mm-hmm. We can help with safety planning and things like that. We also have a victim's advocate on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if something happens in the middle of the night and you need to talk to someone, our advocate can be reached through calling the UAPD call center. That's 348-5454. Just let the dispatcher know that you need to talk to the victim's advocate, and they can get you plugged in and get you to help right away.
Great.
Gosh.
Thank you so much once again for joining us.
Thanks,
we appreciate it, all the good information.
Yeah, I'm still just sitting here in awe just to know that we have such awesome resources in our community. So, So I'm just sitting here dumbfounded. I know you guys can't see what we're doing, but I'm just kind of sitting here with my jaw open because it's just so great for folks to know all of this information.
Yeah, and, you know, Sheena, you and I have talked about it a little bit off the air. You know, we've been fortunate this last few years to be able to, you know, have a lot of different people in here on the show. And, like I was saying earlier, with your job, you're around campus a lot. You get to meet a lot of people, whereas I'm not as mobile as you are in a lot of ways. But no weight jokes there. You know, it really is cool to see, you know, from a university perspective, how many resources we have in place. When you look across the country and you see problems that different schools have, it's nice to look and see that, oh, if we had that problem, we have this system in place and we have all these great resources for it.
Right. And I would say, you know, just even with the type of clients that I may interact with for nutrition counseling, there may be some things concurrently going on that they open up about. And so it feels so rewarding to me to be able to give them, you know, a very specific person or number or department so that they can address that issue, and really just emphasizing that they, you know, should go to all of our different campus departments so that our departments can really thrive within their scope of practice and be able to share their knowledge and assist that student.
Right. Hey, and let's not forget that October is Native American Heritage Month. And being from Moundville, I want to give a shout out to all my people down there.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, get a chance. Have you guys been to the mounds before?
I'm not.
I have not.
I'm so disappointed in both of you.
That should be our to-do list. We'll try to go together.
Field trip.
Okay. Well, thank you for ending on a high note, Don. Now we have a to-do for sure. But you guys, we have had a fantastic afternoon, and we've enjoyed being with you guys. We hope you have a fantastic week, and we will catch you next time on Fit to be Tied with 90.7 of the Capstone.